show now, baby. We are right back again to the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Before You Bet right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. And ladies and gentlemen, I come on here and I say this, it seems like most Thursday nights, this is why we bet. It's a game only a better could love. A man who goes by the name of Easton Stick. I never heard of this guy until last week. He's going up against Aiden O'Connell and the Raiders down in Las Vegas. Tonight, a game with a total of 34 and a half. A lot of key players out. Keenan Allen out for the Chargers. Josh Jacobs now doubtful. But like I said, this is why we bet. It is a game only a better could love. We have some great betting opportunities in this game. Three total from me and my first guest. We'll get into those. A jam-packed show. Davis Sanchez will be by to discuss the game. Also, some spots for Sunday there. Brad Powers, bowl season gets going here on Saturday. Really picks up with six games. Then we'll end the show with NBA, where we have six bets to give out tonight. So a lot to get into here tonight. If you like the show, it's very easy to let us know. Just hit the like button right down there. Hit the subscribe button right down there as well. Zach saying, welcome back, Joe. Indeed. Been off for two shows here. I was sick for one show. I was traveling for another, but I am ready to go here for the stretch run of the NFL season. No excuses. So let's get right into it here with my first guest here, Jingles, the man with the sexiest smile in all of sports betting. So Jingles, the name Easton Stick. As a fellow Canadian, does your mind automatically go to an Easton hockey stick?
Yeah, it obviously goes to a hockey stick. It also goes to a guy who was plus 1,100 to score a touchdown earlier in the week that's down to like 450 now. I mean, we're seeing a lot of backup quarterbacks, and as you mentioned at the top of the show, it's ugly. But at the same stretch, ugly means people aren't betting into those markets, leading to some inefficiencies, which usually leads to value, pal.
Yeah, some spots you could take advantage of. So let's look to take advantage of some spots here. I will get us started. My best bet for the Thursday night football game tonight. I like the Raiders to go under their team total of 19 and a half points. So they've topped this number just twice all season. They're averaging just 15.5 points per game. That number goes down to 15 points per game in Aiden O'Connell's seven starts. They're on a streak where they scored 17 or fewer in four straight games. Now, you might be thinking, yeah, but Joe, they're playing the Chargers. Their defense stinks. Not so fast. The Chargers' defense has had some great performances versus awful offenses this season. They shut out the Patriots in New England. They held the Jets to six in New Jersey. They held Tyson Bagent and the Bears to 13 points. And when they played the Raiders earlier this season, they held them to 17 points on just 264 yards. 3.8 yards per play for the Raiders in that game. And some key injuries here for the Raiders offense. Of course, Josh Jacobs is doubtful. Devontae Adams, it looks like he's going to play. Those are the names that are getting all the buzz. But two offensive line starters are out for the Raiders. Their starting center and starting left tackle, both out. The Raiders allowed four sacks last week. And the Chargers are very effective at getting to the quarterback. This is probably the bright spot for their defense. They're second in the NFL in sacks. The Khalil Mack revenge game is real. We're going to get to that here shortly. So I like the Raiders to go under their team total of 19 and a half for all of those reasons. Jingles, your best bet for the Thursday nighter. What are you looking at?
With all the injuries, it's funny. I'm not seeing Michael Mayer's number change at all. Basically, you open at 18 and a half, it's moved up to 19 and a half. It's still a number for me on the over. Coming out of the break, coming out of the bye, 51% route share to 78% route share, gets that rookie bump coming out of the bye. As you said, there's a lot of pieces missing here. I think this is a game where don't love obviously the Las Vegas offense, but at 18.5, 19 and a half yards, secondary passing option, I certainly like it. He only had one catch last week, but that was versus Minnesota, who's been absolutely great against the pass. And this is total, just looking at the number across, this is a seven-week low on the number. And the Raiders passing at the third highest rate over the last 3 weeks. We saw the Miami game, the Kansas City game, actually quite a bit of neutral game script. So despite AOC's numbers like not being through the roof, this is a team that's passing the ball could be even passing the ball more with Josh Jacobs out, could be looking Mayer's way with Devontae Adams maybe not being 100% and not getting a full array of snaps. This is a number I like. 25 plus is something I like too at plus money. So this is something that could be one and done early, and that's what I'm liking early here on the Thursday night, pal.
Okay, question in the chat. La Bulldog 5 says he's seeing mostly 18.5s and 17.5s on the Raiders team total. I took it 19.5, and I checked that right before we went to air. That's over at FanDuel. So obviously you want to get the best of the number. I don't mind the under 18.5 if you get it closer to even money, but make sure you shop around. Check out if that number is still available at FanDuel. Maybe it got knocked down because of the Jacobs news, potentially. Okay, so my favorite prop for the game, this is the first time I'm betting a defensive prop all season, maybe the only time, and it is on that man, Khalil Mack. Over at DraftKings, you can get him to have over 0.75 sacks. That one's going off at minus 140. So let's get into this one. So we have two offensive line starters that are out for Las Vegas here. O'Connell, he's been sacked a lot here over the last four games. He's been sacked 10 times in the last four games. Now without two offensive line starters, the center and the left tackle. And like I said, in my breakdown for the Raiders team total, the revenge game is real. Mack is a former Raider. He has 10 sacks in five career games against them, six in a game earlier this season. He had three in a game against them last season. And he's been one of the best defensive players in the league this season. He has 15 sacks in his last 10 games. He has once again emerged as a top defensive player in the NFL. So we'll take Mack to go over 0.75 sacks, minus 140. A little juicy, but this is a game where you have to get creative. So I like Mack to get to the quarterback and have at least one sack in this game. Okay, Jingles, let's go into Sunday. I was pleased to see you submitted this bet because it's a bet I like very much. Spoiler alert, I might give it out on tomorrow's show as well. Tell us what you got.
Pittsburgh, Indy, over 42, minus 110. I don't know if you know what sharp bettors are doing early in the week. They've been hitting Shane Steichen overs all year, and this is still a team that's 9-4 to the over on the closing number. So that number is even better earlier in the week. This is a Colts offense that is scoring 26.5 points per game at home and still has a negative point differential. That's because the defense has been absolutely putrid indoors at home. And in those six games, they're 5-1 to the over, but they've yet to face a top 10 offense. So even bad offenses are putting up points versus this Indianapolis Colts defense at home. And it's another one of those things where public perception right now on Pittsburgh is absolutely low, what we saw them on Thursday night. But let's face it, going in last week on the short week with Mitch Trubisky in the backup, being a run-first team, facing the best run defense in football, that was a tough spot for Pittsburgh. They get more time. They come in here. They should be able to run the ball, which is good. Jalen Warren's run the ball a lot better. I mean, Najee Harris is still getting the early snaps and maybe too many carries, but he's running at a better clip than he has over his career of late. Indy, number 31 rush defense per EPA per rush. Lots to like in this situation. Always love overs. And Indy has hit the over in 15 of its last 20 games at a 43% ROI. That's a big one. I like a lot points there. I mean, when teams are low or teams are high, it's a good way to look at the other side. And for another example, Dallas. I mean, Dallas is everyone's loving Dallas right now, but I'm happy to hit them team total under 24.5 later on that Ooh. Sunday slate. Another perception play, but indoors, love points, public play, been profitable all year.
Yeah, interesting take there. Minshew versus Trubisky over sounds like an easy lock there, right? But yeah, I like your breakdown of that one. Jingles, before we let you go, though, tell the good people out there what you have going on over at covers.com and here on the Covers YouTube channel.
A wild slate. Blitz plays going out all week with, what, six primetime games this week doing hockey stuff. Stick around, follow me on X tonight for my halftime play for Thursday night football. There should be something available there. Always nice to get a little halftime live bet in an ugly situation, especially in an inefficient market such as tonight will be. But that's where we are, just grinding out. The NFL season comes to the end of the regular season with a bit to go. But things are getting ugly. 50 backup QBs. We've seen 50 QBs throw at least 40 passes this year. And I mean, Sunday, you'll see it. Backup versus backup, backup versus backup. There's money to be made in those inefficient markets.
Yeah, a lot of those games with backup quarterbacks going head-to-head last week actually went over as well, interestingly yeah. enough, with the weather getting kind of crappy too. So, you know, who would have thought? But here we are, and this is why we bet with all these backup quarterbacks, like I say. Jingles, thanks again for joining us. Best of luck with those bets tonight, and we will catch you again next week.
All right, great to see you back to full health. Joe, good luck with your bets, pal.
Yes, sir. What a spot. Sag Point in the live chat weighs in. Never been more excited by anything in my life than seeing Joe's return today. I, too, am very excited to be back for the stretch run of the NFL season. Let's get right into our next guest here, Davis Sanchez. If you watch football up here in Canada, you know this guy up on TSN. Davis, how are we feeling?
Awesome, buddy. I'm with you. Let's go. This is a game we probably wouldn't watch. It would be a Netflix night, but because of the beautiful thing called sports betting, we get to, I'm excited about the game. I actually can't wait. And that's no BS. I see a lot of stuff I like tonight.
Okay. So let's get into it here. We have the Raiders favored by 3. I would probably lean the Chargers myself, the total 34.5. I would lean the under as a whole, but my best bet, I gave it the Raiders to go under their team total. So your thoughts on this matchup and a rundown of some of the props that you like for this game.
Yeah, it's versus the Chargers. It's all slot all day. I'm going. I heard the Michael Mayer. I like that. I'm going Jacoby Myers. I mean, it's you look at his last three games and his targets. He's obviously a guy that's key no matter who's at quarterback. He gets his fair share of targets. But we're going up. We're looking at the quarterbacks right now. The Chargers are banged up. It's Esang Bassey. Number 27 is all I know. I have him circled on film. I don't know his name, but I looked it up. It's Esang Bassey, and he's their slot corner. So you got Michael Davis on outside. You got Sante Samuel Jr. outside. And then you got Bassey, who was actually come in for the Canadian kid there that got hurt, 33. He's out. So you're already down to your fourth and fifth guy. And the matchup I absolutely love. And then also you mentioned the blitz rate for the Chargers getting pressure. Well, it's they're over the last month. So after last four games, I looked up, the Chargers are third most blitz percentage wise over the last four games. So yeah, they're getting pressure, but they're having to send people to get that pressure. Esang Bassey one on one in the slot, two way go. I'm all over it, and I'm also taking some Hunter Renfrew with that because he's getting a lot of slot targets. And I like Michael Mayer too, because if they flex him out, same thing. I just love the matchup. Also, Joe, think this way too: if it is Derwin James, you know, coming down into that slot and covering at times, he's downhill. I mean, if he's in a matchup, he can cover. Derwin James is, although he's a physical guy who wants to play in the box, he can cover. But how much interest is he going to have in, you know? I thought about his eyes. Like, is he really going to want to play sound fundamental football? He's going to play hard because that's who he is. But I think Moore wanted to blitz, wanted to jump routes, wanted to make plays, all conducive to those slot guys or anyone that Bassey or him are covering, getting money.
Yeah, a couple under the radar looks there from Davis. It seems like everything is an under the radar look here for this game.
Quentin Johnson too. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Had Quentin Johnson as well.
Go ahead.
So, I mean, Easton Stick, I have a tough time saying that, but watching the film, pulled up last week, and there was, if you watch the targets to Quentin Johnson that he threw last week, all three of the shots were that I saw, he's dialed in. He's going there. That's his read. It was one time with two high safeties. Johnson was fast enough to outrun the safeties, but when he threw it, it was too high, double covered. So he's committing to throwing the ball to Quentin Johnson. And the thought process for me, and his number, I got it last night at 26. I think it's bumped up a little bit. I think it's might be 30 or 31. Yeah, there it is, 31.5 now. So last night it was 26.5. But we should have done the show last night, Joe. Where were you last night? Exactly. This I love. I still love it at 31. For him, he's such a big play, deep ball guy. I think his receptions was either, I think it was around 3.5 or 3.5, but I don't even like his receptions, but I love his over. And just the fact that, think about mentality wise for the Chargers, right? They're done. But this is a guy who's been a total letdown for them. And, you know, he's someone that they have to try to get going. Game plan wise, if you're the OC, if you're Staley, if you're the GM, you want to just get him going, feed him, get him involved in the game plan as much as you can to see what you have maybe for next year. Are you going to cut bait? Are you going to, you know, expand his role? Can you count on him? All that type stuff. I think he gets more targets than, you know, if anything that you would have looked, what you consider his target share this year, it should be a bump tonight for sure. So I like him. I like some alt numbers for him as well. Push that up to 50, put up to 40, put up to 60. I got a few of them built in there all on Quentin Johnson having a big night.
Okay, so let's go from this game. Fair to say one of the more lackluster games of the entire season, probably, yeah, to the best game of the week. We have the Dallas Cowboys in Buffalo. A lot of great storylines for this one. So we have the Bills favored by 2. This game's tied for the highest total of the week at 50.5. I kind of lean the over there. I'm not touching the side, though. It's very interesting. You know, the Cowboys are absolutely flying, but can they go on the road in mid-December and beat a tough opponent? Meanwhile, with the Bills coming off a big win over the Chiefs, but as soon as you think they're going to get going, they hit another speed bump. So is there anything in this game that you have your eye on?
Yeah, before we get to the bet part of it, real quick, though, the Buffalo Bills, I've had this conversation with a few people. If you're power ranking the AFC right now, where would you – are the Buffalo Bills in your top five?
I'd probably put them at 5, I guess.
Yeah.
No,
I think they are. I mean, I'd put them okay, – they yeah. They're 4 or 5 for me. I mean, they're probably 5, but 4 or 5. I just feel like they're a way better team than – it doesn't matter because their schedule is tough. They lost some tough games, and they got a tough haul ahead of them. But I just – it's sad. I'd like to see them in the playoffs because I think they're going to be a lot better than some teams that might get in. But anyway, moving forward, this play for me is all about, what I heard on the broadcast last week. And you guys, we watched the game. The broadcast was absolutely all over Stephon Gilmore, how, you know, he was locking down AJ Brown and he's a big difference in this team. And he is, and he had a really good game. And I went back and watched it every snap of him against AJ Brown. And here's what I learned. And here's what I'll tell you is AJ Brown is so damn good that even when he has 8 snaps, there was 8 snaps versus man coverage that Stephon Gilmore was lined up against A.J. Brown. He has 7 catches, 7 out of 8 he caught. And people are going crazy, clamoring about how great Gilmore was. But that to me is Gilmore played well. When he did make those catches, he tackled him, got him down, no huge ones over his head. So I get why you feel good, but that should tell you how good A.J. Brown is. When he has a game like that and people are talking about how great Gilmore was. So that being said, Stephon Diggs, I believe that the Cowboys, again, Dan Quinn, he'll go into this and say, okay, we're going to take Stephon Gilmore and line him up against your number one. Well, that's not a good matchup for Gilmore. A.J. Brown, you can stay with A.J. Brown because he's a great receiver. You just have to worry about, you can stay with him because he's not uber quick. But once you get there, can he body you off and make a play? You got to win twice, I always say. With A.J. Brown, you got to beat him twice because even if you cover him, he can body you, knock you off, and make the play. Good luck with Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs going over. If they try to match up, if I see early in this game, I have to play it now, but I'll watch the first 2 series, and if I see that Gilmore is traveling with Stephon Diggs, I'm absolutely going to smash Diggs. Gilmore's a good corner, but he does not have the foot speed to run with Stephon Diggs, so there'll be separation. So, yes, he was good against A.J. because he could stay with A.J. And he happened to get him down when the ball was there. But he's not – if they play man and then double with Bland on the other side or work high safety with Bland on the other side, it'll be a huge day for Stephon Diggs, massive day. So, alt that one up, up over 100, over 90, over 100, over 110. So, wherever you can get some good alt numbers, shop around, and I love that play.
Okay, so a big game for Diggs potentially here on Sunday. Before I let you go, I want to get your opinion on something. This one's going to be a big talking point as the season starts to wind down and as we approach the NFL draft. So let's try to get ahead of it a little bit. So everything's pointing to the Carolina Panthers having the worst record in the NFL. They only have one win this season. That means the number one overall pick most likely going to go to the Chicago Bears. If you're the Chicago Bears, do you go ahead and start over at quarterback, maybe take Caleb Williams, or do you look to continue to try to build around Justin Fields and trade that number one overall pick for an avalanche of picks? Fields, is he a top 15 quarterback? No, but he is playing a little bit cleaner here this season. So what do you think the Bears are going to do here?
So look, this is a quick segment, so we don't have time to get into the deep dive of, you know, salary cap ramifications, because that would have a big part, that would have a lot to do with it. Because, you know, if, you know, you want a guy in his rookie deal, you know, and you, you know, if Fields is, you know, one more year, you have to deal with Fields and an extension, all that stuff, and that might not be cap conducive. I would say this: if you can get, you know, it's just from that standpoint of do I believe in Justin Fields over the number one pick? I would keep Justin Fields, absolutely. No question about it. I wouldn't even hesitate. I would, because of all you can get. And not that I think Justin Fields has been phenomenal, but he, if you, all you can get for those, for that number one pick, and all the draft capital you have, you can really build around a guy that in Justin Fields, it might be better than whoever you're getting. I mean, Justin Fields is, you know, he went where he went for a reason. He's an uber talented guy. And I had an argument at, you know, with one of my guys, about this today. He was talking about, you know, about Jalen Hurts. And I said, okay, now I'm not saying that Justin Fields is better than Jalen Hurts. That'd be ridiculous. But it's not ridiculous to, if you want to look at it open and honestly, go ahead and flop places with them. Their careers, the trajectory of their careers. That's a tough, real tough word to say. The trajectory of their careers, and go ahead and put Justin Fields in Philly and surround him with that organization and that talent, and allow him to, you know, nurture it in that environment, and go ahead and throw Jalen Hurts in the ish so that it is the Chicago Bears for the last few years. Jalen Hurts would be Justin Fields. I think he'd be worse. I would argue that Fields would have more success and Jalen would have less, would be worse. I mean, and that's how I feel. We never know, but, yeah, Justin Fields just got put in a crappy situation, and I think whoever's gets drafted at the top of that draft might not be better than Justin Fields. I rock with Justin because of what I can get.
Yeah, I like the idea of building out the team, you know, build out the offensive line, put Justin Fields behind a top five offensive line in the league, get him another receiver maybe, and, you know, see what he can do. You know, we're so quick to throw these guys out, right? And I know, what, he's in year three now, and we've seen some flashes. We've also seen some flashes of awfulness from him, but he hasn't been surrounded with the best of players here. So, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what the Bears do there. Davis, we will leave it at that, my man. Thank you again for joining us. Best of luck with those bets, and we will catch you again next week.
Appreciate you. George Pickett as well. Overs.
Okay.
Over some chatter out of Pittsburgh, getting him involved. All right. Yeah. Cheers.
Yes, sir. All right, my man. Okay, let us switch gears now to college football. Bowl season starts to really pick up here Saturday, 6 games. So let's get some insights from our guy down in sunny Las Vegas, Brad Powers. Brad, how are you making out today?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me as always, and welcome back.
Yes, sir. Thank you. It's good to be back. So you have a best bet here for the games taking place on Saturday. We're going to touch on two more games and a couple other things we will discuss. So let's start with that best bet here. It is for the Cure Bowl, Miami, Ohio, Appalachian State. We have a total of 44.5, and you like the under for this game. Tell us why.
Yeah, multitude of reasons. Let's start off with the personnel, or lack thereof. We'll start with Miami, Ohio. That's going to be down to not only a backup, but a third string quarterback here, making his very first start against a relatively tough App State defense. So that's a big time negative for Miami, Ohio. On the other side of the ball for Miami, Ohio, I think they have one of the best defenses in the MAC. It's a major reason why they've won the MAC championship this year. So I think right now with their current personnel, they're a dead nut under team. On the other side, App State, without their top running back, he opted out of this game, hit the transfer portal. So it's a major blow for their offense. And then the ultimate X factor here, probably something no one's thinking about because the game's played in Orlando. Significant weather is going to be an issue here. Heavy rain, 20 mile an hour, sustained winds, under 44.5. Line's going to move big time.
Okay, so potentially some more entertaining games to take place here on Saturday. I have my eye on two games with tight spreads and high totals, and I want to get your thoughts on them. Let's start with the New Orleans Bowl. Jackson State, they're favored by 2.5 over Louisiana Lafayette. This game has a total of 59. Any thoughts, any leans for this game?
I'm going to lean with the underdog in this one. I played in a much tougher conference, and I think generally speaking, people are like, well, Conference USA Sun Belt, what could be the major difference? I mean, we're talking small conference college football. There is a big difference. Average team power rating, about a 6-point difference between the two conferences. So statistically, I could see why Jacksonville State's taking a little bit of the money. My power ratings actually favor Louisiana here. I'm going to take them plus the points.
Okay, another fun-looking game here. It is the Independence Bowl. I like these bowls with the more straightforward names, a traditional name like the Independence Bowl. California, Texas Tech. Texas Tech favored by 3, total of 58. Thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, I'm going to lean side and total. I'll give you a side and total here. I lean over, so that should be good for you as far as excitement. Yes. Obviously, got a couple of Power 5 teams. This will probably be one of the games, if you're just generally flipping through the channels, this is a game probably worth watching. Two teams that relatively good, even though the record says they're mediocre, 6-6 for both. California playing a really tough Pac-12 conference this year, exceeded expectations. Texas Tech's been banged up most of the year, and that's why I think there's also some value on Texas Tech. They were playing a multiple games with a third-string quarterback and also a banged-up backup quarterback. The backup's going to start in this one. He's fully healthy. I think that makes Texas Tech's offense go. Let's go over the total and lean minus 3, Texas Tech.
Okay, so in the email, we have a little correspondence before the show where we talk about what we're going to discuss, and Brad gave us future bowl bets that will move more. So let's break these down a little bit. First of all, we have the Mayo Bowl, which is just an insane name. Like, the people at Mayo got in a room and said, let's throw a ton of money at a college bowl game and get more people interested. Needed Mayo, I guess, but here we are. West Virginia, it's 5.5 now, and you think this one's going to move?
Not only any Mayo, Joe, Duke's Mayo. And what they do, I don't know if you're familiar with this, to the winning coach after the game, they literally dump a big jug. Images. Like, I'm talking like one of those Gatorade bath jugs of Mayo over the top of the winning
That's
coach.
That's kind of entertaining.
I think they should do it over the losing coach, but that's something I wouldn't be, want to be on my bucket list, pun intended there. Let's talk value in this game. We're laying the points here with West Virginia, minus the 5.5. Obviously, it's already been established. Drake May, the outstanding quarterback for North Carolina, not going to play. That's why West Virginia's favored here. What I don't think is properly priced in yet is all their players that have opted out, injured, or have hit the transfer portal for North Carolina. 9 other starters outside of Drake May for North Carolina are going to be out for this game. I don't like the backup situation. I don't like the team culture and the way this team, closed the season with back-to-back losses. West Virginia is excited to be in this game. They overachieved. Their win total is only 4, and yet they got a chance to win 9 games. I like West Virginia here.
Okay, next up, let's talk another bowl with a funny name, the famous Toastery Bowl. Old Dominion, minus 2.5 right now. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, you and I talk again on Monday, and I don't think the line's going to be there if we wait that long. This is a Monday afternoon game. We're going to lay the 2.5 here with Old Dominion. I'm hearing whispers that Western Kentucky's quarterback might not play in this game. Even if he does play, I like Old Dominion this one. Cluster opt-outs on the offensive line for Western Kentucky. 3 of their top starters on the offensive line are out. 3 more starters have opted out for Western Kentucky. This is a team that I didn't think much of. Even with all those players playing this year, statistically, Old Dominion is the better team. They're more excited to be here. Let's lay the 2.5 with ODU before the line moves on Monday.
Okay, there you have it. Some great insights from Brad here for the games going on and Saturday and some future games as well. Brad, thanks again for joining us. Best of luck with your bets this weekend, and we will catch up with you again on Monday.
Sounds good. Take care, Joe.
Yes, sir. The King of Las Vegas. I don't think that's self-proclaimed, but maybe I'll start calling him that. The King of Las Vegas, Brad Powers. Okay, let us shift to the NBA. Great-looking schedule in the NBA tonight. We got 6 bets to discuss. And of course, we are bringing in our guy, John Mettler, the self-proclaimed king of NBA player prop bets. Right, John? Isn't that what you call yourself?
No, I wouldn't say self-proclaimed king. I do want the Sweet Boys to come back, though.
He's modest. Yeah, if the Sweet Boys can go 6-0 tonight, that'd be quite the accomplishment. So before we get into the bets here, Let's talk about this Draymond Green situation. Suspended indefinitely. He was suspended 5 games earlier in the season for pitting Rudy Gobert in the chokehold. Of course, he punched Nurkic in the face there the other night. And John, I don't know, man. How long should he be suspended for? I'm thinking maybe 25 games would be fair. He was suspended 5 earlier for the chokehold on Gobert, but I don't like what I'm hearing so far. It's kind of like they're trying to almost spin this into a mental health issue because they're talking about Draymond needs counseling and Draymond, he needs to go away and get the help that he needs. And it's kind of like they're holding his hand a little bit. They're NBA. They're so soft on these players. Like, and this is just like, I hope they don't turn it into a mental health thing, but it seems like they're going down this path. So your opinion on what we've seen with Draymond, the punch, and how long do you think he should be suspended for?
I actually think the choking of Rudy Gobert was worse, if we're being honest. At least like the punch of Nurkic was like somewhat like not a basketball play, but you can see like if Nurkic is, I'm going to guess, like I used to referee basketball too. So I'm going to guess that at some point Draymond Green was being held in the post earlier in the game. And maybe he approached the officials about it and he asked them to like make that call and stuff. And then he got so frustrated that they eventually never did make that call. I don't know for sure. I didn't go back and specifically watch for this, but I'm going to guess that was his reaction of like, you know, I've been asking for this call all game. And then he just swung his arm. I mean, you can't do that. It's an ejection right away. And any referee would tell you that he said he wasn't trying to hit him. It was like an aggressive toss. I honestly think the Rudy Gobert thing was worse because he like blatantly ran down the court and put him in a chokehold. In terms of how many games I saw, I don't know if this is a real line or something, but I did see somewhere on Twitter they were saying 29 and a half was the line. I don't know. I didn't actually see that anywhere. I kind of with you, I think 25 is kind of the game. I think the bigger question is he going to play for the Warriors again? I don't know.
Well, I blame the Warriors organization for all of this with Draymond Green. They've been coddling this guy the whole time. They do absolutely. How long has this been going on? Him kicking guys in the balls and pulling bullshit like this. That organization completely ruined the career of Jordan Poole. They threw him under the bus. I know Jordan Poole has turned into a little bit of a joke, but he was the one who got punched in the face by Draymond Green last year. And they wanted to work it out internally, and working it out internally meant destroying Poole's confidence as a player, then trading him to the Wizards. So, it is a joke. The Warriors, you can't knock them too much. They've been to a handful of finals. They won, 4 of them, yeah. I think it was. But they failed to properly turn the corner with these guys. We talked about this before, how they were trying to kind of merge the core of the big three that they had with a bit of a youth movement with Kuminga, Poole, and who's the center they traded to the Pistons?
Wiseman.
Yeah, and that didn't work at all. And now you have Klay Thompson's playing like crap. You have Draymond Green, who's going to be out for maybe 25, 30 games. Steph Curry's still lights out, but they didn't really fail to, or they failed to get to the other side of bringing these young guys in and merging them with the top guys. So let's go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, I think there's probably been some element of Curry's like saying like, give us a chance to run this back. And now after this, I think it might be, okay, well, maybe we need a little bit of a roster shakeup here. It's clearly, you know, we earned the right to run it back, but now if he's suspended, we're losing, people aren't playing good. I think you could see them change course a bit.
Yeah, they should, because that championship window, I think it's almost closed there, John. So let's talk about that game tonight. You have two bets that you like. Warriors, they're playing the Clippers tonight, and a rare spread bet from you. Who are you taking to cover the spread here between the Warriors and the Clippers?
So ironically, I am taking the Warriors. You know, Draymond Green's out. There's kind of all this drama around them. I grabbed this at +6 this morning. It's moved down to 5.5, which is a good sign. The best price coming out was 5.5 -105. I'd still take that. I think this should be closer to Clippers, like -4. In terms of, you know, specifically this game, the Warriors they just played at the end of November, kind of big game of December. They beat the Clippers the first game and they were up by 20+ and blew the lead in the second game. They played back to back. They didn't have Chris Paul or Andrew Wiggins. I say that like it's a positive. They didn't have that they have Wiggins back. I don't know if that is a positive, but they didn't have Chris Paul in that game. So there's no Draymond Green, but there's they had Draymond Green in those two games. No Chris Paul tonight. They have Chris Paul, no Draymond Green. I think I'm taking the Warriors specifically in the spread because I think it's kind of like do or die for roster spots at this point. I like kind of what we were just talking about the Draymond Green thing. I think Jonathan Kuminga knows there's a chance for him to finally start on this team. I think Brandon Pozimski thinks there's also a chance for him to start on this team. They have young guys. They've just kind of been married to the team that won them a bunch of championships. I think Andrew Wiggins is up against it. I think everyone's kind of playing for a roster spot. And if they don't come out tonight and play like that, I'd be very shocked. I think Steve, it's like other than Steph Curry, I think it's open to anyone to kind of enter the starting lineup. Even last time they played the Clippers, they started Dario Saric over Kevin Looney. So that even that position's kind of up for grabs. I just think you're going to see a very, like everyone's playing. I'd be shocked if they come out flat, essentially is what I'm saying. And then also just from like the number side, I think the spread's a little inflated just because of the drama around the Warriors.
Fade the narrative. I love it. Okay, so there's a prop for this game that you like. It is James Harden. So how are you backing or fading him in this game?
Yeah, I'm backing James Harden. So for Harden, with his assist prop, you know, I love the assist market. He's someone I was, you know, attacking constantly last season. I've kind of laid back off Harden when he went to the Clippers, kind of let them see how it was going to play out with the numbers and all those things. Now it's very clear. This is Harden's offense to run. He calls himself the system. He basically is the system. Russell Westbrook is firmly on the bench, sixth man. This is Harden's point guard. So I price this prop as if Paul George is playing. And Paul George left last game with a groin injury at halftime. So there, by all accounts, it sounds like he's fine. He is going to play, but there is a chance that this bet kind of gets that little added boost of maybe Paul George does sit out tonight. So I like this 7.5 minus 120, even if Paul George is playing, but there's a chance we get a little bit of an extra boost here. In terms of Harden specifically against the Warriors, I don't think anyone would be more excited about helping the Warriors downfall than Harden with all those years with the Rockets and the head-to-head battles. And there are two matchups that they just played. So we just got to see Harden kind of play the Warriors very recently with the Clippers, with Westbrook on the bench. He had 14 potential assists in the first game, 18 potential assists in the second game. That shows you that he's very involved in the offense when the Clippers play the Warriors. It wasn't just like a one-game sample size. Like it's back-to-back days. The potential assists actually went up. It just screams that there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of opportunity relative to the 7.5 minus 120. So I think the 7.5 is a good line. I just think the minus 120 should be a little higher.
Okay, back to me. Let's go over to the East Coast. We have the Chicago Bulls in Miami to take on the Heat. I'm going to take the Heat to cover the first half spread -2. So the Bulls, if you have not been paying attention, have been absolutely atrocious in the first half of games this season. They are 6-17-2 against the spread in the first half, 2-9 ATS on the road, where they have a -8.5 point differential. Meanwhile, a lot of contrast here from Miami. This is a hot spot for the Heat, 16-6-2 ATS in the first half this season. Yes, it is the second game of a back-to-back, but fairly light work for Miami starters last night against the Hornets, just 29 minutes for Jimmy Butler. And you look at the last 10 games, stats specific to the first half. 7th and first half EFG percentage for the Heat. They're shooting it very well in the first half of games. The Bulls, dead last in opponent EFG shooting percentage in the opening half of their game. So I think the Heat will be up by at least a couple at the end of the first half versus the Bulls. John, let's go to maybe the best game of the night. We have three total bets for this one. It is the OKC Thunder in Sacramento against the Kings. You got two props. I got the spread. Start us off, De'Aaron Fox. What are you looking at for him?
Yeah, I'm going under his points prop. It was 30.5 this morning. You know, I woke up and I was going through all the odds and I was like 30.5. Oh my God, for De'Aaron Fox. Like, he's a great player, don't get me wrong. But this is a guy who's having a career year, averaging 29.5 points. And this is 1 point higher than that. So even if you think of like, even at his best basketball, just like think about that for a second, even at his best basketball he's playing his entire career, this total is actually 1 point higher than even that. The Thunder just have, so Lu Dort missed last game with an ankle. He's not on the injury report today, so he's back. So you have Lu Dort now on the perimeter as a defender who can guard Fox. You have Jalen Williams who, you know, 7'2" wingspan. He can bring a different type of defense to Fox. Fox also likes that little mid-range jumper. Jalen Williams with his, you know, wingspan should be able to disrupt that. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has actually been a really good defender too. If I was looking at the EPM stats last night, and he's second in defense to Jalen Suggs. So when you have three guys who can kind of take Fox, how do you create a mismatch for Fox to get an advantage on offense to go over such a big total? You know, he usually trades at the 27.5 window. Just thought the 30.5 was a little too high for Fox here. I grabbed it this morning. It was -105 for the under. It was -120 when we came on. It even went down to 29.5 at some spots. The -120 is still good. It's still at priced at -150. So even if it's moved, the juice has moved a little bit, I would still grab that -120. I just think the 30.5 is a little too high here for Fox.
Okay, as far as the spread goes for this game, I am on the underdog. Give me the Thunder.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
+1.5. So statistically, they are the better team. Dig into the numbers. Look at the last 10 games. Offensive and defensive numbers absolutely favor OKC. 4th versus 19th in EFG percentage and 7 versus 23 in opponent EFG. So dig into the offense versus defense a little bit more. So more edges for the Thunder. Expect success from three-point land. Last 10 games, 6-3-point percentage for the Thunder. They shoot it very well from the land beyond the arc. The Kings, trouble defending the perimeter. They are 25th in opponent three-point percentage. Then go inside. We have strong interior defense versus poor interior offense. OKC, number one in the NBA in points allowed in the paint over the last 10 games. The Kings are 22nd in points scored in the paint. So look for OKC to force the Kings to shoot it more from the outside. I think that gives them one of several edges in this game. So I will take the Thunder to cover as a small underdog there. John, bring it home for us, an absolute avalanche of picks on today's show. Josh Giddey, what are we looking at for him?
Yeah, we almost have a parlay here. Correlated parlay. Thunder +1.5, Fox under, and Josh Giddey over 4.5 assists. So with Giddey, Giddey's like kind of the perfect example of when you're looking at NBA player props, you almost have to have like a betting perspective and a fan perspective. So if your fan perspective is he's having a down year, that's fine. But if your betting perspective needs to be he's having a down year, but how is that down year relative to the total that we're looking at today? So Giddey last year was playing 30 minutes a game, 6 assists. This year he's about 25 minutes, 4.4 assists. So when that's kind of all altered, like last year his total was 5.5. It was matching that. Today it's 4.5. +130 for the over. That's the big key here, the +130 for the over. So in terms of Giddey's minutes, I know they're down, but we don't need him to play more minutes than what he is to go over this total. You know, his last three games, he's had 10 potential assists playing only 24 minutes a game. That's a lot of potential assists for someone who has a total of 4.5 +130. Even a couple of games before that, if you go through his box scores, he had like one assist. He was still averaging just under 6 potential assists. So he was still involved in the offense. He was still, you know, creating things for people. They just weren't finishing the shots. Those are probably the games that are giving us this total, by the way. In terms of for Giddey, while we don't need the minutes, I think there is a chance we kind of get a little bit of elevated minutes just because of the Kings roster structured. You know, they're kind of smaller. There's more wings like Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray. They're all the same size. They're guys Giddey can match up with, so they don't have to worry about, you know, if you're playing the Timberwolves and you got two bigs, you only have Chet Holmgren, you kind of got to make adjustments there. The Kings and Thunder kind of match up well where they both run that like one big and then a bunch of wings. So I think you could see Giddey. I'd be shocked if he plays less than 25. I think you could see him kind of push more towards that 30. We don't need it, but it's part of also, you know, an added bonus to the number here.
Okay, yeah. Hopefully a big game here for the OKC Thunder. Should be a good one up in Sacramento. Okay, John, we're going to leave it at that. We thank you once again for joining us, but tell the good people about your work over at covers.com.
Yeah, you can find all three player props that I gave out. You can find those bets in an article at covers.com, and the spread pick on the Warriors I am writing right now. So it'll be up later this afternoon, but it'll be a similar breakdown to what I gave here. Maybe a little more detail.
There we go. Hard at work as always. Okay, John, best of luck with your bets. We will catch you again on tomorrow's show.
All right. See you tomorrow.
Okay. Winding right down here. Long show today. A lot to cover in the world of sports. If you're just tuning in, my best bet for the Raiders Chargers game tonight, I like the Raiders to go under their team total of 19.5. They've gone under that number, or they've only gone over that number twice all season. They're only averaging 15 points per game in Aiden O'Connell starts. We've seen the Chargers have some good defensive performances against awful offenses. They held the Jets to 6 points. They shut out New England, for example, and some injuries along the offensive line here for the Raiders. I think that's going to be key. Khalil Mack, The revenge game is real. He had 6 sacks against them when he played them earlier in the season. You can get him to go over 0.75 sacks. It's a weird bet, minus 140, but I think that's a good bet on Mac to get home versus the quarterback. So that does it here for today, guys, but there's a lot going on here at covers.com. So make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube channel. We have a massive UFC event going on Saturday night. I'm going to be recording my best bets for that in probably around an hour and 15 minutes here. So that should be up on the YouTube channel a little bit later, but we're going to be right back with you again tomorrow. Best bets for all the NFL Sunday games, some NBA as well. So let us leave it at that. Enjoy the game tonight. A game only a better could love. I cannot wait. So best of luck with your bets tonight, and we will catch you again tomorrow. Yeah.